Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Marketing Freaks podcast and this week's mini bite-sized episode. And Jeff returns. This is like the sequel. Jeff the sequel.
Jeff 2. I'm excited.
So on our last bite-sized episode together, we were talking about dealing with professional rejection. This week, we're going to be talking about the topic of time efficiency or time management.
Yes. A tough one. A tough one. It's another one of those things, isn't it, where no one teaches you it, right?
Exactly. And it's, I think this is 100% on the employer, right?
Yeah.
Because people are graduating or they're coming out of college, university, whatever. This is, just isn't taught, right? And when you get into the world of work, you have to start at some point managing your time effectively, right? And it just doesn't get taught. And it's a real win-win, right? So as an employer, if I teach time management and time efficiency, I have happier people and they're more productive, and that's great. And as an employee, if you're being taught this well, then your life's less stressful and you get more done and you progress.
100%.
And so it's perfect.
I mean, we both run agencies, right? And the way that agencies typically earn money,
or
certainly an agency like ours, is by time.
Yep.
Right. So, but that's not necessarily abundantly clear to someone in an agency, right? Whereas, like you say, it is a complete win-win. And actually, so much of the employee experience comes down to being able to manage the time. And it's not just about creating the win-win, you know, in terms of, well, yeah, we're going to earn more money, you're going to have more fulfilling role, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, okay, but beyond that, in your whole life, this is a very, very valuable skill, because it's all about prioritization and it's all about knowing what you're there to do in any context.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not about, this isn't about an employer or an agency owner squeezing every last little dime of someone's time out of them.
No, it isn't. You're right.
It really isn't. It's about everything works better, you know, and you're less stressful, you feel less overwhelmed, you have time for personal development, you can prioritize correctly. My experience of this is typically as you see people progress up the ladder, if you like, and they're going from like an entry level role, typically is kind of you're given the task list,
it's prescribed,
and you work through it. And I'm not saying it's easy, but it's you're told what to do.
Yeah.
Given a list of things to do. And as you progress, you have to start working out what should be on that list and prioritizing and not getting dragged into stuff that you shouldn't be dragged into. And that's quite an alien concept for most people who progress to that point.
Sorry, I was going to interject.
Please.
But it has to start from the top, because who's given the directive of how to prescribe to a junior? Well, what have they learned? What do they know about time management?
Yeah.
And it, honestly, you see it so many times, because the provision isn't put in place to train people and to upskill them in things like this, which is essentially a softer skill, but it's a life skill. Mm-hmm. If someone's being promoted themselves through the ranks, they're now in a management position, but actually they're terrible at managing their own time. It's like the junior doesn't stand a hope in hell, right? Because they're just, you know, you're getting direction from someone who doesn't really know themselves. So, and I think it leads itself very quickly to becoming busy fools. Like that's a phrase use a lot, where, you know, you could actually get so much more done and be a lot more chilled and be a lot more effective and your work's better and you enjoy everything that you're doing a lot more by actually stripping stuff out. And again, that comes down to being very clear about what the priority is. And, you know, the organizational aspect, as you say, is so interesting because it has to be engineered into the business.
Have I ever told you one of my favorite stories about this?
I don't know, John. That is not a detailed lead.
Even if you
lead
suggest,
into
I'm
the
say it again,
please, for the listeners, tell us.
No, I don't
tell
think
us.
I have. So when I started Overdrive, I was renting a desk in like a shared workspace, which was really nice. And there was a guy in there who set up it was like an architectural design bit of VR software. So, i.e., somebody who has to do sketches of stuff for their living could pop this plug into the software and do what would take a week in about half an hour.
Right.
And it was really good. It was really good. The first client he got was McLaren.
Not bad.
And he did it all in 6 months, from concept to McLaren being their first client for designing their cars and the software. It's like, okay, bloody hell, that's good. But throughout that time, I just watched him, right? And he would drop his kids off at school in the morning.
Yeah.
And he would leave with plenty of time to pick them up. And I don't think he really worked evenings.
Yeah.
And he still got that done in 6 months.
Yeah.
And got McLaren as a client and built this really successful bit of software. And you're like, he was just so damn good at prioritizing his time.
Like, was he a one-person business?
It was him with some like contractors.
Yeah,
but it wasn't. It was by no means massive.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like it's a very pure distillation of he had a focus.
Yeah,
which is but that's the thing. It's like one of the biggest organizational challenges people talk about, particularly in scaling businesses, is alignment and everyone understanding what they're there to do.
Yep.
And the smaller the businesses, the easier it is to do it. But totally. But even there is like that's a guy where that's his baby and he's so focused on it. And actually like the thing is that he'll be better at it the next day because he's left and got some balance and got his kind of rest, like the restorative time with his kids or whatever.
But it was just like it blew my mind. Watching it blew my mind.
Yeah. I bet he basically made it look easy, right?
Yeah, it did, yeah. Probably, I'm sure it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was the same during, you know, COVID when homeschooling. You're fortunate enough to have had a child post-homeschooling and not
fortunate,
old enough
yeah.
for homeschooling.
Very.
It was a fucking nightmare. Anyway, what that taught me was, so but what we did in our house was we split our shifts.
Yeah.
So I would go and get my head down and get as much work as I could get done in the morning done, and then I would take over quote unquote homeschooling in the afternoon, and my wife would do a bit of work. Still got about the same amount done.
Yeah.
I just didn't, I could not be in any meetings that I didn't 100% need to be in. I couldn't waste any time on activity that I didn't 100% need to be doing. And I just got massively efficient at prioritizing my time.
Yeah. Yeah,
it all got done.
I think it's I don't know what I was gonna say. You can edit that out.
No, I'm gonna leave it in. I'm gonna leave
Great.
It in.
Great.
What are your do you have any top tips for like let's say someone's feeling a bit overwhelmed, they know this is something that they really need to work on. What's your top tip? Let's do top tips.
Top tips. I think there's a process. It's quite a well-timed pod, actually, because a few weeks ago I read a book called Essentialism. The reason I stuttered just then is because I was trying to find out who it was. It's a guy called Greg McKeown.
Okay.
And it's all about really understanding what is and isn't essential and putting in place the controls around, you know, first of all, you've got to realize it. And there's a bit of a journey to go on to realize what is important, what isn't. And it's all about what's the kind of the infrastructure you put in around it. So, because what I found was that I'm typically one of these people that needs a lot of pressure to do something. So I don't begin working on something until it's a little bit too late. And then I just love it. And I'm like hammering it. But that's not a sustainable way to operate. And that's like in anything. but it's particularly troublesome at work, obviously. But then, so I was thinking, actually, I need to be better at this. And I read this book and I was kind of going through it. And what I've essentially done to kind of counter this is I've put a little bit of, I put some rules in around my week. So I've kind of restructured and I put in, it's quite dry, but it's like, you know, Mondays are for admin. It's buffer day, what I call a buffer day. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is all about the thing that I am the best at. So what is the stuff that I and only I can do? So I've got this little phrase of my Ned, who's like, I and only I. And he's like, you have to spend as much time as possible doing that. And anything else, it goes to someone else. So it's your classic delegation thing. Uh-huh. But I honestly found that just putting some structure in around this, putting some tooling in. So, for example, I use Motion. I don't know if you've heard of Motion. So it's like an AI calendar management thing. But what I've done is I've just said, right, on these days, I do these activities. And the majority of my week is focused on the things where I'm there to add the most value. So like the CEO stuff. So like planning for the future, looking at finances, sales, that kind of thing. But it's so often you get dragged in to other bits and pieces. Whereas what this does is it literally just manages my calendar for me. So like no one can actually touch me because it's on them to book the time in. And the options it gives them, I send them a different link depending on what they want to talk to me about.
Oh, that's genius.
So if I've got an external sales thing, for example, I give them a link and there's quite a lot of availability Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like between these certain times. Internal sales meetings, they have their own schedule. If someone wants a one-to-one with me, they can... It's all limited, and it's just discipline. And what it's done is it's injected discipline, which I didn't have before because I was there just putting myself under completely unnecessary pressure for absolutely no reason whatsoever, just because it's a habit that I started.
That sounds really good. I like that a lot.
Can you put my referral link in the show
have
notes?
Have you got an affiliate link? No, I'm going to go and sign up.
It's really good. It's really good. You just need to work out what it is you want to do, what you want to focus on, and it does the rest.
That's genius. Because I was going to say calendar blocking, and then you just came out with like a much.
It's essentially that, yeah.
But I think the key for me is being just being completely intentional with your time.
Yeah.
So what are the two big things I need to get done this week or today or whatever it is? And it's about not letting stuff like email, phone calls, meetings, Slack rule your day, because it's so easy and you see it all the time. People don't manage their day. They get the day managed for them by their email and everything else, and it's just poison.
Yeah. Another top tip, can I?
Please do, because that was my...
This is a really good one. It's like, I'm a really big fan. It's like a coaching sort of mechanic, but ranking exercises are really powerful. So like, for example, if you've got three things to do, force yourself to put them in an order, because the reality is typically you won't get all three done.
I like that.
Yeah, you won't get all three done. And so
I like that.
Minimize and go, right, well, that is the most important thing, and then find someone else or another way to do the others.
Yeah.
Because it forces you to think about it, because what you're saying is it's this thing where you get distracted.
It's prioritization, isn't it?
100%. If your head can be turned by a Slack notification, you're toast.
Yeah.
But it's having the discipline to automate silence your notifications, keep focused on that, close your inbox.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard because you feel like you're missing out on everything else, but the world now is all instant gratification, notifications, you know, so you're kind of really swimming against the tide by getting back to it.
I think that is probably one of the biggest challenges with working from home is that you're not in the environment where you're picking up on the stuff that's going on around you, and the energy of the room is carrying you, assuming you're in a good place. But
you're also when you're also home, not in a place to work. So if I go to the office, I'm not there to eat my breakfast and
I'm there to work.
Yeah, exactly.
But like at home or anywhere really, but I think these things probably manifest themselves more at home, as you got bloody Slack, because everyone needs Slack now, because your teams are some in the office, some at home, some all over the shop. Fine. Obviously stuff like WhatsApp, emails, you know, there's just so much stuff.
You're accessible
dinging at you all the time. I was saying, like, this is why I love motorbikes, because no one can reach me.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm not a miserable person that doesn't like talking to people, but it's one of the only times in life where I'm not getting ruled by what's going on.
But I bet you have amazing ideas and revelations in that time. Like, because you're giving yourself space. You're not thinking.
Yeah.
And so you're just...
When you're concentrating on cars not putting out on you and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Obviously on a motorbike, your main cognitive load is on avoiding death.
But you do have thought. You do have, you know, it's a nice bit of time to...
I bet you've got off the bike before and you've solved the problem.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I can't think of when.
Yeah.
But I have, definitely. Anyway, Jeff, look, I think that was massively helpful. Hopefully some really useful tips for people, some good advice and recommendations on tools as well. Thank you so much to everyone for listening, and we will see you next time. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please do come and subscribe. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also find us on YouTube. Do come and say hello on social as well, and we very much hope to see you on the next episode.